الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن لا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
هم آج یہاں
Today, we have gathered here to participate in the Jalsa, i.e. the annual convention. And as every Ahmadi knows, that we do not congregate here for any worldly frivolousness or for any worldly purpose. Rather, it is so that by participating in these programs, and by partaking in the spiritual atmosphere, we excel in our spirituality, we enhance our intellectual faculties, and we improve our religious state, and we improve in our practical conduct also. And that we adopt the fear of Allah the Almighty, and fulfill the rights of Allah the Almighty and His creation. A non-Ahmadi could maybe say that we do not have the understanding of what are the rights of Allah the Almighty and what are the rights of His creation. However, an Ahmadi cannot claim this. These matters are reiterated before them time and again. It is a great favor of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam upon us that he has bestowed us with such a treasure in regards to these matters, which is infinite. Sometimes a person thinks that he has listened to a particular matter before, or he has read it. Yet when he hears it again, or reads it again, then a new point or a new aspect comes to light before him. for an Ahmadi that takes the bayt, i.e. the pledge of allegiance, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, has concisely mentioned those rights and obligations for him in the conditions of the bayt. Thus, we should always keep this purpose in mind as to what is the objective of attending the Jalsa. At this moment, I shall present some extracts of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, in regards to how religious beliefs affect deeds. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, Islam has two components. One is to not associate anything with God and to completely obey Him in return of His favors. A person who reverts from such a benevolent and nourishing God is Satan. There are so many favors of Allah the Almighty that those who disobey Allah the Almighty, who don't completely adhere to Him, then such a person therefore cannot be the one who obeys God Almighty, and he cannot be servant of the gracious God. He in fact is Satan. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, the second component is to recognize the rights of the creation and to perfectly fulfill them. The promised Messiah states, those nations that have committed major sins like adultery, theft, backbiting, deceit, etc., they consequently became ruined, and some nations were destroyed due to just committing one sin. But because this is an ummah upon whom God has shown His grace and mercy, that is the Muslims, upon whom Allah the Almighty has a special attention, that is why God Almighty does not destroy this nation, otherwise there is no sin which they are not embroiled in. What sins are there that are not prevalent amongst the Muslims? The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states that they are committing all of them. The promised Messiah states they have taken in their individual gods, and not just one god. They have become engrossed in the world and have made the world their god. And they have made the worldly people their lord. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, if one's beliefs are good, then good deeds are also demonstrated. If one's beliefs improve, and they are good, and one is certain about them, then in light of those tenets and beliefs, if one holds good intentions, then good deeds should also be demonstrated from him. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, a person that adopts a truthful and immaculate belief and does not associate any partners with God, then good deeds shall inevitably be demonstrated from him. And this is the reason why when the Muslims forgot the true beliefs, then consequently they began to accept the Dajjal, i.e. the Antichrist, etc., as their God. We witness in the world today that many great nations have begun to accept worldly powers as their God, and they have started to fall under their influence. And today we are witnessing this everywhere. Thus, from individuals to a government and to Muslim governments, this is the state of affairs. This is because they accept all divine attributes to be within the Dajjal. Thus, when they have placed all divine attributes to be within him, then if one were to deem him as God, then what fault is this of his? The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, you yourselves have bestowed the charge of divinity upon him. Our Lord desires that just as one's beliefs are reformed, so too shall one's good deeds be reformed, and there shall be no form of disorder that remains within him. That is why it is necessary to tread upon the right path. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, God has repeatedly revealed to me, Al-Khayru kulluhu fil Qur'an, that is, that all good lies in the Holy Qur'an. The promised Messiah states, it is God's teaching that He is one and has no partner, and whatever the Qur'an has said is true. Therefore, seek all goodness within the Holy Qur'an and worship Allah the Almighty, fulfill His rights, and also fulfill the rights of His creation. Thus, to accept God Almighty as one and having no partner, and to completely obey Him and to fulfill His rights, necessitates that we should then also worship Him. Hence, whilst mentioning this point that the objective of establishing this community is to attain the divine insight of God Almighty, and also that why have we become Ahmadi, and what is the objective of entering into the Ba'ath, and why did the promised Messiah alayhi salam establish this community? The promised Messiah states, it is so that the divine insight of God Almighty and the knowledge of the reality of prayer and worship is attained. The promised Messiah further states, a person who only prays and does not plan is in error. And on the other hand, one who considers only his planning to be sufficient denies God. If a person prays but makes no effort of his own and does not plan, then he has committed an error and is wrong, because Allah the Almighty has commanded for us to plan and make an effort. Likewise, a person who plans and does not pray denies God. However, Islam is to combine both planning and prayer. What are the teachings of Islam? They are to plan, strive with all of one's faculties, with all of one's capacities, and with all of one's capabilities. And whatever efforts you can make by worldly means, you must do. And at the same time also pray, and supplicate before Allah the Almighty, and pray a lot, because the result of this planning is only going to be created by God Almighty. And the promised Messiah alayhi salam states that if both aspects exist, then that is Islam. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, that is why I have said that in order to abstain from sin and negligence, one should make efforts in his planning according to its due rights, and also supplicate according to its due rights. That is why in the first chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha, these two aspects have been put forth, أَيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَأَيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, that Thee alone do we worship, and Thee alone do we implore for help. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, i.e. Thee alone do we worship, mentions the aspect of planning, and it has been mentioned first, so that firstly man fulfills the due rights of planning and making provisions. Yet he should not neglect the aspect of prayer. He should also be mindful of this alongside his planning. When a believer utters إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, i.e. Thee alone do we worship, then suddenly the thought passes in his mind that who am I to worship Allah the Almighty until His grace and benevolence is not present. There are some people who have great confidence in themselves and believe that they are great worshippers and pray a lot. However, even this is owing to the grace of Allah the Almighty. A true believer thinks that even to be enabled to worship, that too is also the grace of Allah the Almighty. The promised Messiah states that is why he immediately states, إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, that Thee alone do we implore for help. And this is a very subtle matter which no other religion apart from Islam has understood. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, thus it is imperative in Islam that one who enters it holds firm to this principle. In the face of difficulty, one should exert his own efforts as well as pray and request others to also pray for him. If one falls short in any one of these two aspects, then it is not possible for it to produce any result. Therefore, it is necessary for every mu'min, i.e. believer, to adhere to this. But in present times, I observe that the state of the people is such that though they plan and make an effort, but they completely neglect prayer. In fact, their reliance on material means has increased so much that the material means of the world has become their god, and they ridicule prayer as if it were a useless practice. And this is the direct impact of following Europe. And this is a perilous poison which is spreading around the world. Here in Europe, people are losing belief in God, and atheists are significantly increasing in number. However, the Muslims believe that in this lies the secret to their success. But the outcome of this will not be a pleasant one. The promised Messiah alayhi salam stated that this is a perilous poison which is spreading around the world. But God Almighty wants to remove this poison, and thus He has established this community. Therefore, Ahmadis should not be influenced by the world and materialism, and also by those who do not believe in God Almighty. In fact, they should enlighten them about the existence of God Almighty and inform them about the true Islam. This should be the duty of an Ahmadi. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, so that the world becomes enlightened about the existence of God and the reality of prayer and its impact. People think that there is no reality in prayer. However, an Ahmadi should have such faith that they should not only have firm belief in the acceptance of prayer, but they should also have experienced their prayers being accepted. Thus, this is the state which an Ahmadi should try to achieve, and when one develops this state, only then can one strengthen in their beliefs, and one will no longer follow these temporary or artificial gods, but instead will recognize the true God and will only prostrate before Him. The book revealed to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and also his own practice, has taught us the ways of how one can recognize the true God and also how to reach the apex of worshipping God Almighty. Therefore, one cannot acquire a true understanding of the reality of prayer unless one develops a true bond with the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Hence, in regards to the purpose of establishing this community and his advent, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, if someone from among my community is unaware of this, then let it be known to them. Or if someone was unaware, then he or she should now know that what is the purpose for which God Almighty has established this community, and what exactly is it that our community has to do. It is also wrong to believe that by simply performing the bath, i.e. the oath of initiation, is enough to ensure one's salvation. And that is why I felt it necessary to mention the true objective and what it is that God Almighty expects from us. Simply taking the bath is not enough for one's salvation. The promised Messiah states that he shall inform us what exactly God Almighty expects from us. He states, let it be known to all of you that simply performing the bath as a ritual or to accept me as the Imam is certainly not enough for you to attain salvation, because God Almighty looks at the hearts and not just merely at what we utter by tongue. The promised Messiah further states, as God Almighty has repeatedly mentioned, that what is of importance is that firstly one should believe in God as one and without any partner with the complete sincerity of the heart. Also, to have firm belief that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is a true prophet, and the Holy Quran is the book of God, and after this there will be no other book or Sharia or Islamic law until the day of judgment. In other words, after the Holy Quran there is no need for another book or the Sharia. Remember well that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, is the seal of the prophets, i.e. no new Sharia or book will come after our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. There will be no new commandments, and only this book and its commandments shall remain. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further states, the words Nabi and Rasul, i.e. Prophet, which appear in my books in respect to me, certainly do not imply that a new Sharia or new injunctions will be taught. In fact, by that it means that the person is given the title of Nabi, whom God Almighty appoints at a time of need, and grants the honor of directly speaking and revealing the unseen to him. The appointed one is given the title of Nabi, and it does not mean that he is given a new Sharia, or that, God forbid, he abrogates the law of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, whatever he acquires is as a result of his true and perfect obedience to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And without this, it is not possible to attain. Indeed, when sin becomes widespread and mankind fails to recognize the true faith, and all that remains is skin and bones, and it is devoid of the brain and its nucleus, and the strength of their belief weakens, and Satan increases in his dominance and influence, and their passion and delight in faith no longer exists. In such times, it is the practice of God that He sends one of His perfect men, who is wholly immersed in His devotion to Him, and thus grants him the honor of directly speaking to Him. And in this era, He has sent me as the appointed one, because it is this very era in which the love for the Almighty has diminished. And though it generally seems that people proclaim the creed La ilaha illallah, i.e. there is none worthy of worship, and also affirm their belief in the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, as well as observing prayers and keeping the fasts, but in actuality, they are completely devoid of spirituality. Moreover, their practice, which is contrary to righteous actions, testifies that they are not done in a righteous manner. Their actions and practice is contrary to righteous actions, and majority of the Muslims are in this state. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, in fact, they perform these as mere rituals and a customary practice. Even if they do perform any deeds, they are done as a ritual or because it has become a habit, and hence they do this, but in reality are unaware of its true spirit and its reality, because there's not even an iota of sincerity and spirituality. Otherwise, why is it that their righteous actions are not accompanied with any blessings or spiritual light? If someone carries out their righteous actions while understanding its true essence, and in order to please God Almighty, then it should produce positive results and bring blessings. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, remember that unless such actions are carried out with the true sincerity of the heart and with spirituality, they will be of no benefit, and these actions will have no use. Righteous actions will only be deemed righteous when there is no conflict. The opposite of salih, i.e. righteousness, is fisad, i.e. conflict. And a righteous person is one who is free from any kind of conflict and disorder, and one whose prayers are full of conflict and have ulterior motives. Their prayers are certainly not for God Almighty, and do not even ascend a single span from the earth because they are devoid of the true spirit of sincerity, and also lack in spirituality. Many people level the allegation that what is the need of this community? What was the need of the promised Messiah alayhi salam to establish a new community? The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, they say that do we not offer the prayers and keep the fasts? Such people only deceive others, and it will not be of any surprise if some people who are unacquainted perhaps fall prey to their deception after listening to them, and along with them state that why has a new division being created by establishing this community, even though we offer the salat, keep the fasts, and recite the prayers. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, remember that such talk is owing to a lack of knowledge and understanding. This is not because of me. If this division has been created, then it is God Almighty who created this. I did not establish this community, but it was God Almighty who told me to establish this community, and it is He who created this community. And if you say that I created the division, then this criticism is not leveled against me, but against God Almighty. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, it is God Almighty who established this community, therefore ask Him why He created this community. The state of faith has become so weakened that it has reached the point where its power has become almost non-existent. However, God Almighty desires to infuse the spirit of true belief and has chosen to do this through this faith. Thus, for people to level allegations in such state of affairs is completely foolish. Remember that such doubts and suspicions should never enter anyone's hearts, and if one truly reflects and ponders, then such doubts can never enter. Doubts and suspicion enter when one fails to carefully ponder, and those who superficially observe the Muslims and then say that the rest of the Muslims are also doing the same, then such doubts can quickly lead to one's destruction. The promised Messiah further states, I have read some letters from people. The promised Messiah would receive letters from people even after they had taken the bath, who although are part of our community, but say that they were asked that what was the need of establishing a new community when the other Muslims also pray, recite the kalima, a declaration of faith, and keep the fasts and perform virtuous deeds, and seem virtuous as well. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, despite having done the bayt, these people listen to such doubts and allegations and then write to me that they could not find an answer to this. I feel sorry for such people, for they have failed to truly understand my objective and purpose. They only observe from the outside, wherein they also fulfill the obligations of Islam and the injunctions of God Almighty, as we do. But in reality, it is devoid of the true spirit, and thus such talk and doubts work like magic. At the time, they do not ponder over the fact that what we wish to do is to develop true belief in them, which saves one from the death of sin. Those who fulfill these rituals and practices are not the same. They simply look at it superficially and fail to recognize its true essence, and they have only a shell in their hand which is empty of its nucleus. Thus, the true purpose of the promised Messiah alayhi salam's advent was for us to develop a true relationship with God Almighty and to make us recognize the grandeur of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and so that we adhere to the authority of the Holy Quran. Therefore, we who believe in the promised Messiah alayhi salam need to improve in our faith and also in our practical conduct accordingly. And we also should not simply look from the outside and think that the other Muslims are just like us in the way they pray and keep the fasts, and that there is no difference. If we cannot notice any difference, then this should be a worrisome state for us, because there should be a difference. There should be a heartfelt passion and a true spirit in our worship, in our durood, i.e. invoking blessings on the Holy Prophet, and in our remembrance of God, and when we are serving others, which is not seen in them. We also need to assess whether our bayat is done with its true essence, or is it merely a lip service, and whether or not our worship is done by truly believing in God as one who has no partner. There are many who offer the five daily prayers, but simply read them without its true spirit. And there are also many Ahmadis who do not even offer their five daily prayers, and when they meet me, they even say that pray that we are able to offer them. However, this is the most basic duty of an Ahmadi, and it is the duty of every Mu'min and of every Muslim. After having entered the bayt of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, one should offer their prayers with great zeal and enthusiasm. It should not be the case that one fails to read all the prayers and then requests for prayers so that he or she may become regular in prayer. When a person has realized that he or she is not regularly praying, then they should take it upon themselves to make an effort and plan for this. Why do they not pray for this and make an effort for it themselves? When they recite Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, that thee alone do we worship and thee alone do we implore for help, why do they not recite this from the deep recesses of their heart and act upon it rather than just simply uttering these words? If we have accepted the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then every action of his is a blessed example for us. Along with his worship, his high moral qualities are a model for us. He presented a model of excellent moral qualities for us in regards to his social relations, family relations, and with his wives. However, there are many who create disorder in their homes. Yet the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has taught us to take care of their sentiments and emotions. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, also taught us to treat children with compassion and also to generally take care of the feelings and emotions of others. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, taught us to refrain from fighting and arguing, and also advised us about this in his teachings and also by his own practical example. He also taught us against dishonesty and unfaithfulness, and in fact the teachings of Islam strongly admonished against this, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, also demonstrated this from his own practice. Regardless of the circumstances, he always displayed humility and modesty and set very high standards of truthfulness. What other attribute is there which we cannot find at its apex in the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him? If we truly believe the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to be a true prophet, and the promised Messiah alayhi salam as the Imam of this age, who came in his subservience, then we must raise the levels of our conduct and the standards of our worship. We must ponder over the injunctions of the Holy Quran and its commandments in respect to what we should and what we shouldn't do, and assess which virtuous deeds we are practicing and which ones we are not. and which of the ill practices we are refraining from, and which ones we are not. It is also important to develop a true understanding of the promised Messiah alayhi salam's status and his claim. This era has led mankind away from God Almighty, and in the name of progress, each new day brings new efforts to draw one further away. And so, in such times, it is the duty of an Ahmadi to strive to form a relationship with God Almighty and to develop a true understanding of his being. And every new day should bring more progress to this understanding. Our love for the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, should not be limited to merely a verbal claim and to raising slogans. In fact, this love should be expressed by adhering to the noble example of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. It should not be the case that we raise slogans of his name, but thereafter we carry out great injustices in his name, as this is the state of the Muslims today. We find that there are many organizations today, and also governments, which are carrying out injustices in the name of Islam and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, came as a source of mercy for the whole world. But due to their actions, they have turned his image into one of oppression. However, they will never succeed in their efforts, because in this day and age, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has appeared, and we are continuing this effort in order to present the true image of Islam. Therefore, in order to present the true image of Islam, we must continue to strive in inculcating the noble example of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. We must adhere to the authority of the Holy Quran. And we must remain occupied in the effort to ensure that every action of ours is one that is counted among the righteous actions. We must strive in each and every moment to distance ourselves from Satan and draw closer to the gracious God. Otherwise, as the promised Messiah alayhi salam stated, that even the non-Ahmadis observe prayers, but their prayers remain in this world and do not ascend to the throne of God. God has nothing to do with such prayers because they are devoid of sincerity. And they are tainted with worldliness. Therefore, such prayers lead to destruction. Thus, this advice of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, should serve as a very serious warning and something to greatly ponder over, and also in understanding the true essence of our bayt. Explaining the reality of prayer, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, prayer will only be deemed a true prayer when there is a true and pure connection with God Almighty, and you immerse yourself in His pleasure and obedience. Furthermore, you give preference to faith over the world to such a degree that you are ready to give your life and die in the way of God Almighty. When this state is created in man, then it can be said that his prayer is truly a prayer. However, until this truth is not instilled in man, and he does not show an example of real loyalty and devotion, his prayers and other deeds remain ineffective. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, there are many who people deem as believers and righteous, but in heaven they are declared as disbelievers. Therefore, the true believer and righteous one is he who is declared so in heaven, even if he is considered a disbeliever in the eyes of the world. The world considers us disbelievers, but we have absolutely no concern with that. If our deeds are good, and we have a relationship with God Almighty, then it is God Himself who declares us as believers. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, "It is a very difficult task indeed for man to have true faith and display complete devotion and loyalty with God Almighty. When man has true faith, then many of his signs are manifested." The Holy Quran has mentioned signs of a true believer. A great sign among those of true faith is that when man tramples over worldliness and distances himself from it, like a snake which sheds its skin, the world ceases to remain his, but instead his real objective becomes to please God Almighty, and in doing so he also receives the world. The promised Messiah further states, "Similarly, when man comes out of his layer of selfishness, he becomes a believer, and the traits of true faith are found in him." Thus God Almighty states, "إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ." Meaning that verily Allah is with those who are righteous and those who do good. Then, regarding the nature of true virtue, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, "Taqwa, righteousness, means to avoid the subtle paths of sin. But bear in mind that piety is not so little as for man to say, 'I'm righteous because I did not usurp the wealth of another, or break into someone's house, or steal, or look with lewd eyes, or commit adultery.' In the sight of a wise person, this type of virtue is ridiculous, because if one did commit sins and steal and commit robbery, he would be worthy of punishment. Hence, this is no virtue that is worthy of recognition in the sight of a wise person. Rather, true piety is that man should serve mankind and should show such fidelity in the path of God as to be ready to sacrifice one's very life. That is why Allah the Almighty states that إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ, that verily Allah is with those who are righteous and those who do good. Do remember that it is no merit in merely shunning evil unless one also performs good deeds. There are many people who have never committed adultery, murder, theft or robbery, but in spite of all this, have not displayed true devotion and loyalty in the way of God Almighty, and nor have they served mankind in any way, or done any good deeds. Ignorant indeed is the one who then presents these points and deems such a person amongst the righteous, because these are mere evils. This is not sufficient for him to enter the rank of the saints. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, "It is God's way to punish those who are wicked, who steal and act deceitfully or take bribes in this very life, and they do not die until they have been punished." Keep in mind that doing so little is not true virtue. Taqwa is the lowest step, and it can be likened to the cleaning of a utensil before the choicest food can be put in it. Now, if a utensil is cleansed but no food is put in it, will it serve to satiate one's hunger? Certainly not. Can an empty plate satiate one's hunger? Of course not. So understand taqwa in the same way. What is taqwa? It is to clean the plate of nafsi amara, i.e. the soul that incites to evil. Thus, to clean the plate, place the food of good deeds on it, and to eat it is the real thing, which will bring you closer to Allah the Almighty and grant you His pleasure. Among the many vices, one of the greatest vices is the sin of lying. On one occasion, whilst turning our attention to staying protected from it, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, stated, I have pondered over the Holy Quran, and there are thousands of commands that are not being followed. The minutest of matters are violated, up to the point where some lies are uttered by shopkeepers, and others lie for the sake of diplomacy. Whereas Allah the Almighty has deemed it parallel with filth. Yet it is witnessed that many people desist not from exaggerating when describing something and deem it not a sin. When joking as well, they utter lies. Until man does not desist from all kinds of lies, he cannot be called a Siddiq, a truthful one. A very noble moral is to cover up the weaknesses of others. It is not just a good moral, but when doing so, man can also protect himself from many quarrels and discords, and also save the world from them too. Hence, whilst expounding upon this point, the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, I have witnessed that there are many disputes within the community. And from the smallest of disputes, the honor of others is also attacked. The minutest of disagreements develop so much that some begin to attack the honor and fight with their brothers. This is a very inappropriate behavior indeed. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, this should not be the case. And what is the harm in admitting one's error? When two are disputing, one should admit to his error for the sake of reconciliation. The promised Messiah says some people do not surrender over such small issues without declaring the other person as disgraceful. It is absolutely necessary to desist from this. One of God Almighty's names is Sattar, i.e. the one who covers up. So why does man not have mercy on his brother and treats him with forgiveness and conceals his faults? He should cover up the faults of his brother and refrain from attacking his brother's honor and dignity. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, I have read in a small book that a king used to write the Holy Quran. Once a cleric told him a verse was written incorrectly. At the time, the king circled that verse and ordered it to be omitted. But when the cleric left, the circle was erased. When the king was asked as to why he did this, he replied, the cleric who came to correct me was actually at fault, but I only circled it to please him. And lest he be put to shame, and that I dispute with him. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, it is a great disease and the root of all arrogance that one sees a fault in another person and then announces it before people. These habits ruin an individual, and as a result one should abstain from these habits. Hence, all of these matters are part of taqwa. The one who adopts righteousness in all internal and external matters is counted amongst the angels, because not a single trace of rebellion is left within him. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, adhere to righteousness, for only after this is accomplished is one bestowed with divine blessings. A righteous one is saved from all the trials of this world, as God Almighty becomes his savior and refuge. Until one does not adhere to this, all else is futile. People such as these can derive no benefit from entering into the bed with me. And how can one derive any benefit when there is malice left inside them? If, like other people, one still has the habit of becoming enraged and has arrogance, conceit, pride, pretense, fanaticism, then what is the difference between him and others? The promised Messiah further elaborates by saying, if there is a single pious-natured individual in an entire village, then the people of that village will be influenced by him in a miraculous way. An individual who adheres to righteousness with the fear of God in mind, that person is bestowed with divine awe, and others can perceive that he is a man of God. It is an undeniable truth that one who is sent by God Almighty is bestowed with a divine grandeur, and this is the way of the righteous. The promised Messiah continues by saying, thus always remember that it is not appropriate to trouble one's brother over trivial matters. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was the symbol of complete and perfect morals. And in this era, it was the wish of God to present him as the last and final model of all virtuous morals. He was the zenith of all virtuous morals and etiquettes known to mankind in this world. He is a model for every individual. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, even after this, if one still has a trace of cruelty within them, then it is a great disappointment and misfortune. If one makes claim of pledging allegiance to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and also to his servant, the promised Messiah, then one must reform themselves in order to gain the highest of morals. But if even after this, if we continue to bring each other down maliciously and cause each other harm, then this is a pitiful matter and a great misfortune. The promised Messiah has said, thus one should not highlight the blemishes of others, because it is often the case that if such a flaw does not exist that the other reveals, then that individual becomes engrossed in that very flaw themselves. If, however, that flaw does exist in that individual, then that matter is left to God Almighty. The promised Messiah continues to say, many people have a habit of making immoral judgments against their fellow brethren unnecessarily. You should avoid doing such things. Make ease for people, show compassion to fellow man, and show kindness to your neighbors. Deal with your brothers with piousness and abstain from shirk, are ye associating partners with God, as this is the foundation stone of righteousness. Upon seeing your fellow brother committing a mistake, the promised Messiah explains how one should react by saying, one should adopt righteousness, piousness, and improve one's moral condition. I am dismayed at my community that they quarrel amongst themselves over the smallest of matters. To call another ignorant in a public gathering is a grave mistake. If you see a flaw in your brother, then you should pray to God Almighty to protect them from it, rather than publicizing that blemish. If one's child is guilty of immoral conduct, one does not shun him immediately. Rather, he would take him to one side and explain to him that his conduct is wrong. Therefore, he should abstain from doing such acts. Thus, just as one deals with one's own children with closeness, kindness, and gentleness, you should also deal with your fellow brothers in the same way. The one whose morals are not good, his faith is in danger, because he harbors a root of arrogance within him. If God is not content with an individual, it will amount to ruin. Thus, if one's moral condition is such, then how do they have the right to say anything to others? The promised Messiah further states that this means that one should not overlook one's own condition and instead look at the fault of others. Rather, one ought to focus on one's own flaws, as they are not accountable for the flaws of others. And also, so that one does not become accountable of the verse, that why do you say what you do not do? Then, a person who is overwhelmed with anger is deprived from victory and divine support. Speaking about those who get angry, the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, remember that a person who is harsh and becomes enraged cannot utter wise and meaningful words. The heart that flies into a rage and quickly gets out of control is deprived of wisdom and understanding. The lips of the unrestrained and foul mouth become unfortunate and are kept away from the spring of perceptiveness. Rage and wisdom cannot coexist. The one who rages in a fit of fury has a dull mind and brain. A person who gets angry and loses common sense, he is not successful in any field and is not a recipient of divine support. The promised Messiah states, anger is half of insanity, and when anger becomes full fury, it can become complete insanity. Our Jamaat should abstain from all forms of vice. A branch that isn't truly connected with its stem and tree does not bear fruit. How can you become recipients to the promises that God Almighty has made with me if you do not understand my true purpose and do not obey the conditions of the birth? Therefore, if someone has these bad habits, then it is essential to change his or her conditions in order to become the recipients of these promises that God Almighty made with the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and to gain benefit from the prayers of the promised Messiah. Many people come here to attend the Jalsa in order to benefit from the prayers of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. However, if their practical condition isn't good, then how can they be recipients of the promised Messiah's prayers? The promised Messiah alayhi salam has addressed this matter himself. Instead of anger, what should be the condition of a believer? Regarding this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, it should not be the case that your anger at a certain time creates such problems that brings the entire community's name into disrepute, or a case is filed which becomes a source of concern for everyone. People come here for Jalsa and certain youngsters get into altercations and some uphold past grievances, and the Jamaat's reputation is tarnished when such matters become public. The promised Messiah states, all the prophets were cursed at, and this is something the prophets have always been bequeathed with. Therefore, how can I remain deprived of this tradition? People hurl abuse at me as well. But you should become such a person whose wrath has been subsided completely. Be as if you were not given the ability to get angry. Thus, the promised Messiah alayhi salam states that even if strangers hurl abuse at you, even then you must control your anger, and certainly not to express anger amongst yourselves. The promised Messiah states, keep in mind that if there is an iota of darkness, then light would not shine, because light and darkness cannot coincide with each other. Darkness subsides when light glistens. You should utilize all your capabilities in order to become fully obedient to Allah the Almighty. If there are any shortcomings in your abilities, then you should find them and throw them out like a person who sells barn, i.e. beetle leaves, and throws out the leaves that have gone bad. There should be a reformation of all your faculties. It should not be the case that you commit a virtuous deed, but it ends up being contaminated with a bad deed. You should seek repentance, forgiveness, and always make use of prayer. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, seeking forgiveness and repentance, having awareness of religious matters, keeping in mind the greatness of God Almighty, and offering 5 daily salat are all weapons for our victory. Salat is the key to the acceptance of prayer. You should pray whilst offering salat and should not be heedless. You should abstain from every single evil, whether it pertains to the rights of Allah the Almighty or the rights of mankind. May Allah the Almighty enable us to accomplish these standards and to understand the aim of the promised Messiah alayhi salam's divine mission while taking his oath of allegiance. May Allah the Almighty enable us to fulfill the purpose of the promised Messiah's mission whilst utilizing all our abilities and capacities. And may he also enable us to inform the world about its truth. Keep in mind that instead of wandering around during the Jalsa days, you should attend the Jalsa programs, you should listen to all the speeches. Every speech becomes a source of progress for one's practical conduct, their belief and spirituality. The Tarbiyah department should try to implement this. And apart from any genuine reason, everyone should be sitting in the Jalsa Gah, i.e. the main Jalsa arena, instead of wandering around. You should come here to attend the Jalsa and should make every effort for this. Similarly, all the attendees of Jalsa should fully cooperate with those on duty. Sometimes the queues are very long in the parking area and also during the scanning in the entrance, so you should cooperate there. Sometimes there are certain difficulties while serving food, and there are also similar challenges in the washroom areas. If there is any need for cleaning, then you should also try to clean yourself as well. Do not think that people on duty are available and they will take care of the cleaning. Instead, you should also take care of the cleanliness. Cleanliness is part of faith. Likewise, workers should treat every single person with good manners, and regardless of the circumstances, every male and female worker should make sure that their manners do not project a negative impression. You should always serve with a smile regardless of what occurs. The attendees of the Jalsa as well as the volunteers, everyone should keep in mind that they have to be mindful of the environment and they should keep a keen eye on this. It is very important for security and it is very important these days under the current circumstances. And most importantly, you should focus on prayers and the remembrance of God as much as possible. Pray for yourselves, for the Jamaat and for the Muslim Ummah as well. That may Allah the Almighty grant them wisdom and may they accept the Imam of the age. Pray for the world generally as well. The world is moving towards destruction. Pray that may Allah the Almighty protect it from destruction and may he grant them sense and wisdom and may they be able to recognize God Almighty.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان
إيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ يَذْكُرْكُمْ وَادْعُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ.